being here tonight with the choir from our school is in itself a miracle. 10 years ago, if someone would have told me that within 10 years' time, I will be with the choir of Emmanuel University in London, All Souls, Langham Place, I would have responded, yes, this is a nice dream, but please do remember that we live on earth. Well, today, this wonderful dream is a reality. And thank you for welcoming us. I feel like All Souls is my second home. I spent here 3 years during my studies in London, and every Sunday when I was at home, together with my wife and our two daughters, we came to worship in this place. We were greatly blessed. And knowing Richard and John personally, we were even more blessed. Probably you know that in 1987, John Stott came to Romania to help in what was then an underground theological training program. And he came to Romania under the cover of watching birds. Well, you know John. And after a few days on Danube Delta, we managed to smuggle him out from the Delta, brought him to Oradea and kept him in hiding for other 3 days watching young students. And after those 3 days, he went back into the Danube Delta and then he came back home. But his ministry was so influential in our lives. Then later on, we had Richard with us. And ever since he preached in our church, I have great problems with the leadership of the church because they keep asking me to preach like Richard. Now, I cannot preach like Richard, so I was reminded of a story. There was a great preacher in the church, and he did a great job, and a man in the church, a brother, was so impressed with the pastor that he decided that he will encourage and appreciate his pastor every Sunday after the sermon. So he went and shook hands with the pastor at the door and said, "Great sermon, preacher, great sermon." One Sunday, however, the sermon was very poor. And this man didn't know what to do because he took the decision to be positive with the pastor every Sunday and said to him, "Great sermon." But in all honesty, he couldn't say that day that there was a great sermon. But as he went off, he met the pastor, shook hands, look into the eyes of the pastor, I said, "Great text, preacher, great text." Well, tonight we have a great text here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, and from verses 35 to 39. This is a great text. Laborers for the harvest. Last year I read a report in a Christian news release from Europe. And the report said that all the theological schools in Europe register with 25% less students last year than the previous year. And the comment was that there is a decreasing interest for the ministry of the gospel among the young people. Well, as the principal of a theological school, that news concerns me. I had to ask myself, why is that decreasing in the number of those young people who feel that God is calling them for the ministry? And with that question in mind, and with that kind of burden on my heart, I was reading my Bible and came across this text. When Jesus saw the crowd, and he was moved with compassion, after he was traveling through villages and cities, after he met the needy people and he provided for their needs, he healed the sick and he raised the dead. Jesus was there busy working from early morning to late evening. He looked at the crowds and he was moved with compassion because the crowds were like sheep without shepherds. This is an Old Testament image that speaks about a people with no leadership. Initially, sheep without shepherds was speaking about a nation without political leadership. And when the political leadership of a nation is weak, when the political leaders of a nation are taking the nations in the wrong direction, That's a difficult time for a nation. And whenever Jesus looks at a nation and see there is a political leadership that is weak, that do not follow him to the ways of the Lord, God is moved with compassion. Because the job of the political leaders is not to take the world away from God, but to lead the world to God. Because Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But in the days of Jesus, the political leaders of the world were not taking people back to God, but away from God. Later on in the Old Testament, sheep without shepherd had the meaning of lack of spiritual leadership. Yes, there were religious movements in Jesus' days. But those religious movements were not taking people back to God. Were not bringing them into the fellowship of a living fellowship with a living God. But taking people to their religious ideas. And probably this is true in our days. The 20th century is not characterized by lack of religion. There is religion every corner. Some theologians say that our century is very much like the first century when there was a deity, a god or an idol around every corner. Yes, but these religions are not taking people to the living God, to the true God of the Bible, the God of creation and the God of revelation. So when Jesus saw the people following political leaders and spiritual leaders that were taking them away from God, Jesus was moved with compassion. Because the people were led by people that failed to meet their needs. All of us are having our own needs. Some psychologists say that every human being has three basic needs. The need for love, the need for significance, and the need for security. And each one of us is seeking for a place or a person or something to meet our needs. And there are so many people that are promising us that they will meet our needs. If you look at the young people in our days, they are so hungry for love. And there are so many false promises that they need for love will be met. And they are deceived. And when Jesus sees the young people running for love and failing to find it, Jesus is moved with compassion. There's so much need for significance. And yet people are less and less significant. There's so much need for security. And yet people are less secure. And Jesus is moved with compassion. So there was the people of Israel scattered. They were there without leadership, political leadership, and spiritual leadership. Now we would expect Jesus leaving us with that picture of a sheep without shepherd. But immediately in the next verse, Jesus is taking another picture from the Old Testament. So he sees the harvest. The first line, he saw the problem. Jesus had the right diagnosis for the society of his day. And every Christian needs to understand and have a clear diagnosis of our society. If you travel from London to Moscow, Europe became one of the most filthy continents of the earth. If you go into a news magazine, you are embarrassed by what you see. If you go to all the other clubs and pubs, what you hear and what you see is so disturbing. So we see Europe becoming a secular continent. We see Eastern Europe coming out from atheism after 70 years in Soviet Union and 40, 45 years in the other countries. 400 million people coming out from bondage. We see the picture and we see the problem. But what does Jesus see next? He sees the harvest. Whenever you see the world torn apart by problems, Jesus see the possibility. So the next line, Jesus said, now you saw the problem, the sheep without shepherd. I want you now to look to them in a different way, from a different perspective. Look at them as the harvest. The fields are ready for the harvest. Now the disciples understood that the one who was so busy working from early morning to late evening, was one laboring, knowing that he was laboring in the harvest, not wasting his time. So suddenly Jesus said, now look at the fields. Look at these people, look at the crowds, look at the various ethnic groups. Look at Europe at this time and see the great mission field in Europe. When we saw that in Romania, 10 years ago, when we saw that the strategy of the communists were to destroy Christianity and control church leadership and get rid of the church leaders and try to impose leaders that were not leaders, we understood how strategic it is to have laborers. And you see what Jesus is saying next? If you see the world through the eyes of God, the world is a huge harvest field. And the next step is ask the Lord of the harvest. Go back to God. Because the answer for the needs of the world are not down here, are not in the government, are not in the business, as important as they are. The answer is in God. Because there is no other name, Jesus said, either in heaven or on earth, in which people can be saved, except the name of Jesus. So the answer is back to God, back to Christ. So ask the Lord of the harvest to give the answer. This was an invitation for prayer. When you see the world as a harvest field, there is a great time to start your spiritual life and your prayer life. In 1973, in our church in Oradea, we had a pastor. He saw the world through the eyes of God, and he became a great man of prayer. That man spent up to 8 hours in prayer every day. When he came from his prayer place, when he stepped on the platform, we felt the power and the presence of God in that church. Within one summer, 650 converts joined our church. A church that had 40, 50 members with Sunday attendance of about 20 discouraged people. Within one summer, there was an explosion. There was spiritual revival. And people began to pray. And in 1973, in the church in Oradea, we began to pray that God will bring the time when the gospel will be openly proclaimed in Romania and throughout the communist world on stadiums and sports halls and radio and television and in school and in parliaments. And the gospel will be preached in the military and everywhere, in prisons. We pray for that since 1973. And the answer came in 1990. Whatever we pray for, God gave us. Almost 20 years later. Do you know which is one of my greatest regrets? That our prayers in those days were too small. We just pray that the gospel will be proclaimed. We didn't pray that everyone that will hear the gospel will become saved. We have so many times so small prayers. Jesus encourages disciples to pray for big things. Now, prayer is not a substitute for action. So many people believe that if they say, well, I will pray for you, with that they get rid of you. I had so many people that tapped me on the shoulder and said, Paul, go home and I will pray for you. Well, what we need are people of prayer and people of prayer that will lead them into action. If your prayer do not lead you into action, your prayer life is a dead prayer life. When Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers, you see what comes in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus commissioned the one who prayed. Now be careful, if you start to pray, the next thing will be, Jesus will send you somewhere to do something. I cannot imagine a man or a woman of prayer that will spend hours with Jesus in his room or her room, and then they will end up in doing nothing. That's not real biblical prayer life. Jesus commissions them. And what follows next is the 12 disciples going out and doing what Jesus taught them to do. So what we saw in Romania after decades of prayer, we saw the opportunity. And in 1990, we started a small Bible school with 60 students. As soon as we registered the school, We felt that God has been so gracious with us, the Romanians, that we should extend our hand of support to our neighboring countries and our brothers and sisters in those countries. So we began to give scholarship to students from Moldova, Republic of Moldova, from Ukraine, from Russia, Russian Federation, and we have a good group of students from Siberia. We have students from Sudan. We have students from South Africa. We had a student that graduated, finished the course with us 2 years ago, and he was an Iraqi army general. One of the top military commanders of Iraq during the Gulf War. And during the war, this man came to know God. He became a Christian and felt that God is calling him to mission. So he was looking for a place to study. He couldn't go to the United States because he was an Iraqi. He couldn't go to Great Britain because he was an Iraqi. Couldn't go to Germany, Switzerland, Holland, Canada. No other country will welcome him. Well, thank God he didn't need a visa for Romania. So he flew to Romania. He spent some years with us. Then he finished his studies. And do you know that now he is the one who's strategizing the Bible distribution throughout the whole Muslim world? Can you see God in his sovereignty? Taking an Iraqi army general, bringing him to Romania, a former communist country, providing for him treatment there, training there, and then sending him into the mission? Can you see the Siberians? And when we said Siberia, we had in mind the Gulag, and now Siberia is a wonderful place, and wonderful young boys and girls there that are studying, and they are becoming a mighty army of Jesus. Can you see that God is changing the meaning even of the country names and region names? Siberia is not frightening now. Siberia is something that almost makes us joy, jump with joy. Our great God. Let me finish by telling you a short story about one of our graduates. He graduated last year. He felt that God is calling him to plant churches in an area of Romania where there are very, very few churches, and in that particular area there was no church at all. So he went to a particular town and he began to witness on the street. A lady was so angry with that young preacher boy that she tried to stir up the drunkard of the town to beat him up and kick him out from the town. So that lady met one of the worst drunkards in town and told him that this young boy is making some disturbing things. And the drunkard got angry. He pulled out a stick from a fence and he went to this preacher boy to hit him on his head. When he was with his stick up, somehow he couldn't move. He looked into the eyes of our graduate and said, "Can you sing me a song?" And the student began to sing a song. Then he stopped and explained the meaning of the words. Then he sang the next stanza. And the drunkard began to weep. The lady saw that something strange is happening there, so she came near. She began to listen. Both of them accepted Christ that day there on the street. And that lady said to the preacher boy, said, "Know what? You must come to my house. And I will invite all my neighbors and all my friends to come and hear to what you have to tell us." And by now, in 1 year, there are around 28 converts in that town. And now we are helping them to put a small chapel in that town so they can spread around. Can you see the harvest? Can you see the Lord of the harvest? Can you see yourself and as one of the laborers? If there is nothing that you will remind of from the choir from Oradea, just remember that the harvest is ready. And you may be the next one on God's payroll to send you on a mission field.